Want to miss it.
Time for the Baseball Coaches Show here on Q92. This is Paul Ramo for Q92 Sports. We'll be visiting with area coaches here in the next hour.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studio with another Baseball Coaches Show. And we got a lot of baseball to talk about within the next hour here. Of course, everything's in playoff action. And the Madison Mallards will be up in Clinton this afternoon for a 1:30 game with the Benson Plowboys. And Matt Munson, manager of the Madison Mallards, is in the studio with us this morning. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Paul.
The Plowboys, how did they come up with that name, the Benson Plowboys?
I'm not sure. There must be some sort of past significance, I guess. But, yeah, I'm not quite sure. I've never talked to them about it. But it's an interesting name, interesting logo that they have. So
that's right. But, yeah. Well, I tell you what, let's talk Mallard baseball. You got a big game today, right?
Yep, yeah, big game today when we travel up to Clinton to play at 1:30. So, of course, like you said, playing Benson, but it's tournament time. And you know, with our one loss in playoffs already and it being double elimination, it's kind of a win-or-go-home day. So look forward to playing today, hopefully playing a couple more games this weekend.
All right, let's back up a week last weekend, and I believe you played the Dawson Drakes.
Yep, yeah, so we traveled to Morris last week to play Dawson. Played them earlier in the year and had won that game. So we felt, you know, that we'd have a good chance going into this game with throwing Wyatt Halverson on the mound. He had pitched the week prior and had thrown really well, really limited his walks, so was really coming around as a pitcher this year. In these elimination games, it's always you know, important to score four first, so that's what we were hoping to do. The game started out really slow, really boring, 11 o'clock game. It took us a little while to get our bats going, but you know, once we did have five hits in the third inning that plated three runs. You know, Wyatt was a big part of that third inning. Getting a double to start it off. Then we followed up in the fourth inning with another inning of five hits and scored three more runs, and Wyatt had a big double that inning as well. So really good to see his bat come around. We got up 6-0 fairly early after the four innings, and then we were able to get through the fifth with Wyatt on the mound. And, you know, with being up 6-0, you know, and going into the next weekend potentially needing a lot more pitchers, we wanted to make sure that we could get Avery Whitnable and Blake Wolfslager on the mound to get some work, since it's been a little while since they had pitched. And, you know, both Avery and Blake threw really well. You know, on the day, I think when Avery came in, he struck out, you know, the six guys in the two innings that he had worked. And then Blake threw the eighth and ninth, and he struck out a couple guys as well. So a very clean game that we had played. Ended up winning that game 7-0. Accumulated 12 hits. You know, kind of funny, you know, all those hits were in three innings, I guess. So
Oh, really? We
weren't doing a lot the other five innings that we were up to bat. But really clean game defensively. The guys played really well. You know, of course, Wyatt threw well, limiting his walks. But he got the win through five innings, had seven Ks, only that one walk, and gave up three hits. And then he had Avery Whitnable through those two innings, only gave up one hit. And Blake Wolfslager didn't give up any. So our pitchers took care of business. With only limiting Dawson to four hits, and our fielders did their job as well. So it was nice to see that game, get that one game done for the weekend with the win, and then put us on to this next weekend where we play Benson.
Okay. Any more on that game?
Yep. Yeah, just some hitting stats. Yeah, Landon Sherm, you know, been playing center field for us. He had a two hits on the day. Matt Inger with one. Brandon Hill with a hit. Blake Wolfslager. Evan Kells. Wyatt Halverson had the two doubles and two runs scored. Avery Whitnable had two hits, and Caden Fernals had one. So, you know, the bottom of the order, Caden Fernals, Avery Whitnable getting more playing time. Their bats have really come around, so it's been exciting to see. We look forward to seeing what those young guys can do here going forward in playoffs as well.
Yeah, experience is everything in Region 9C playoffs, isn't it?
Yep, yeah, experience. You know, Benson, you know, it seems like they've been around for a few years now and started with a really young team, so they've been getting older as well. But, you know, in general, it's not just the young teams that excel. It's probably the 25 and over, you know, the older teams that, you know, really take care of business in Region 9C. So, you know, for our team, we have that good mix of old guys and young guys, and you know, the young guys are kind of getting ushered in, and they'll kind of be taken over in the future, so that's good to see. Good to see some performance. You know, it's probably one of the stronger hitting and fielding teams that I think that we have had in our history. So it's nice to see, compliment that with our really good pitching staff. You know, and, you know, we got a lot of work to do this weekend, but I think we have the pitching staff that can carry us through it as long as we, you know, play well defensively and get those bats going.
All right. Pitching staff, talk about your pitchers there. Pitching takes you a long ways, too.
Yep, yeah. So Brandon Bornhorst, you know, he's kind of been the horse for many years for us. Has been throwing very, very well. Kind of limited his innings the last few weeks, but, you know, we hope to get him rolling this weekend. ERA, probably about one. You know, our team ERA is probably about one in general. But, you know, Wyatt Halverson has thrown really well as well. You know, he's on vacation this weekend with his girlfriend, so hopefully we can get through this weekend. Something that they had previously planned before she goes to school. So, you know, but we got the pitchers to pick up that slack. You know, Avery Whitnable, Blake Wolschlager haven't thrown a ton of innings for the Mallards just because of their other commitments. But two lefties, and I don't know if there is any other lefties in the land of Ducks, so something different to throw out guys, throw at the other teams. They throw hard, have good curveballs, so that's fun to see. And then we got Brandon Hill, who will log some innings, and Matt Inger, you know, two guys that know how to take care of business, veterans. You know, they don't have to log a lot of innings during the year. You know, you can throw them out there, and they're going to throw strikes. And then you got Dylan Geiser rounding out that high school kid that hasn't thrown for us yet. But, you know, we have confidence in him that if we need him to log some innings, we can certainly do that.
Okay. Well, you got to keep winning. It's an elimination tournament here, so possibility of playing three games this weekend, Matt.
Yep, yeah, it should be a lot of fun if that comes to fruition. You know, you got to take it one game at a time, take care of business today. But, you know, the winner of this game will take on Morris tomorrow in Clinton at 11. So, you know, potentially another tough game there. You know, Morris traditionally has the strongest bats in the league, I would say. So, but yeah, tournament time. Elimination games, you never know what's going to happen. You got to do things right, take care of business, and hopefully we can go a long ways. I think we got the pitching staff that we can do it this weekend, so we'll just have to see what happens.
Okay. Now the game's in Clinton this afternoon. You'll be able to hear that baseball game right here on Q92 at Bart Hill at around 1:30. Then the 4 o'clock game up in Clinton is Cottonwood taking on Ortonville. That's at 4. And tomorrow a slate of games, as Matt mentioned. You got some rain forecasted, which is good, right?
Yes. I mean, obviously we want to get these games in, but we really need the rain too. Yep. So we're not going to wish that rain away at all. Hopefully we can get a few inches out of this system that's coming.
Okay. Yeah, well, tomorrow looks like rain all day. So what happens if they have to postpone? Do you know, Matt?
You know, it might be that they try to fit it in someplace else if there's a field that we have access to. Otherwise, you know, I'd say it's we have Saturday the following week, and then the tournament's supposed to be done. So you might just be able to push everything back a day and get that accomplished. That, or maybe they try to play some games during the week. I don't know. We just kind of play it by ear. You know, Clinton bid to host these games, so I think our goal as a league is to let Clinton have that option to get these games in. So we'll wait it out as long as possible and just see what happens.
All right. Good luck this afternoon up in Clinton, Matt.
Yep, thank you, Paul.
And Bart will be up there with the call around 1:30. So.
Yep, yeah, it's nice to have us on the radio. And for the fans listening, if you can make it up to Clinton today and cheer us on, we really appreciate it. But if not, yeah, you can listen to it on the radio.
All right, that's Matt Munson, manager of the Madison Mallards. Big game today. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Baseball Coaches Show after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunday by appointment. The Country Butcher will deliver fresh-cut and frozen products free of charge during the city's infrastructure project. Call between 10 and noon each day for delivery that day or evening. The retail store will remain open and will cut fresh steaks and chops and have fresh ground beef on hand. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Showing at the Grand Theater in Madison, Friday, August 4th through Monday, August 7th in Theater 1, The Sound of Freedom, rated PG-13. That's The Sound of Freedom in Theater 1. Held over in Theater 2, Oppenheimer, rated R. That's Oppenheimer in Theater 2. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
Hello, I want to give you a glimpse of our upcoming Lac La Parle County Walk of Hope. It will be September 17th, 2023, from 3 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. We are making a few changes this year. Along with some luminaries, we will be selling beautiful paper butterflies that two volunteers have made. Each one will cost $5, and you can buy them in honor or in memory of someone. We are adding entertainment, too. Neon Gypsy will be providing it, and they are privately funded. Another change is a quilt has been donated for survivors only. This is not a raffle item. We are not having a raffle this year. Any survivor can be entered into the quilt drawing. The winning survivor will be announced at the Walk of Hope and need not be present to win. I'll share more details at a later date. Stay tuned to KLQP and remember September 17th for the Lac La Parle County Walk of Hope.
Welcome back to the Saturday morning baseball coaches show. We're going to turn our attention to junior American Legion baseball with Coach Jared Royland here in a bit. But of course, the state tournament in junior American Legion baseball is being held at Richter Field in Granite Falls, just down the road from us here, close by. And they had four games yesterday. I'm just going to run through them scores in the state tournament in Granite. LeSueur Henderson, they lost to Laverne in the first game, 9-0. And Montevideo continues their win streak. They beat Parker's Prairie 4-3 in an exciting game. And so Montevideo has a 33-game win streak. They are the defending state champions in Junior American Legion Baseball. They'll play this morning at 10 o'clock against Laverne in the semis. The other games, Morris beat Esco 3-2. And Granite Falls, the host team, if you are hosting the state tournament, your Legion team is automatically in the state tournament. That's how that works. And Granite Falls beat Rushford 4-1 last night. So in the winner's bracket today, as I mentioned, Laverne will take on Montevideo at 10 o'clock. They move these games up because of the forecasted rain. So 10 o'clock this morning, Laverne and Montevideo, and then 12:30 in the winner's bracket in the semifinals. Morris will take on Granite Falls, and the winner will play tomorrow, scheduled to play tomorrow at 3 o'clock. In the loser's bracket, LeSueur Henderson will play Parker's Prairie today at 3, and Esco will take on Rushford at 5:30. So that's the State Junior American Legion Baseball Tournament, and Jared Royland joins us, so the Madison Junior American Legion team. Jared, it's nice to see four teams in western Minnesota in the state semifinals. Laverne, Montevideo, yeah. Morris, and Granite.
Yeah, that just goes to show the competitive amount of baseball that we have out here. I mean, last year we went up and played in a wood bat tournament that Morris hosted, and we played them. So we played them regularly, and obviously we have Granite and Monty, you know, within our district. So I mean, there's a lot of good quality ball out here.
That's right. Well, we're going to talk about a few of your games and then wrap up the Madison Junior Legion season. And so, Jared, I'm just going to turn it over to you.
Yeah. So we after So it would have been two Friday nights ago. We lost a heartbreaker to Monty in nine innings, 2-3. The boys really came back. That next Tuesday, we played a good Granite Falls team, just like you said. And we came away, beat them 2-0. That moved us on to last Friday night, where we learned that we would play, we'd have a rematch with Dawson again for the third time this year. And we'd split that season series 1-1. And we came away with the tiebreaker. We won 5-2 in that game. We were down 2-0 going into the fifth, and the guys came back and they put a run up in the fifth, they put a run up in the sixth, and then they came back with three in the seventh, and then held, we were the away team, so then we held them in the bottom of the seventh, and that was a big win for our guys. They got a lot of friends over there on that side and like to have bragging rights for the summer, and so they were really excited after that game, and it kind of took a little bit of weight off of our chest. You know, we knew we still had some work to do, but we knew we, with the way our pitching worked out, it happened to be that Davis threw 5 1/3 and got us through the majority of the game, and then Brock came in and closed it out. But we kept him under 45 pitches so that he could come back and throw the second game against Mineota, like I said, and the bats really came against Mineota. We broke out for 11 hits and we won that game 10-0. Like I said, they just the guys were playing defense just like they have all year, and the sticks finally came, and that's something that we've needed to work on a little bit and get a little better in is our hitting, and I was really glad to see that, and making plays on the bases and stuff like that. And so that was a really fun game. 10-0 wins, come away with that, and then but we still weren't done. We had to come back last Saturday and again play a really good, obviously, Montevideo team. Played them really tough, just like we did the first game in the playoffs against them. They got one run on us in the first, and then but we were able, Dylan Keimig was able to work out of a jam and only give up one run, and then they came back in the third and scored another run, but then again Dylan was able to work out of some, they had some other guys in scoring position, so we were down 2-0, and then we came into the fourth inning. Davis Patzer led us off with a double, and then Landon Weber followed that right up with a single and brought Davis around to score, so we cut their lead in half. And then we had some, the seventh inning came, and we had some clutch base running. Brock led off the inning. He got a leadoff double for us, and then I had Caden Clark come in to run, and just he was a perfect guy to have ready for us to pinch run, and I knew he knows the situations really well, and he was able to get to third on a I passed ball, I believe, and then so he had, there was one out, and Taden was sitting on third base, and Carson Young was up to bat, and Carson battled that hole at bat, and I think it was a 2-2 count, I believe, and they have a really, really good pitching staff over there. Gannon Reitinger, we've seen him a number of times this year. He gave Carson a pretty nasty breaking ball, and it was so nasty that the catcher couldn't catch it either. So Carson swung through that, but he had enough presence of mind to make the catcher throw down to first base. And so then Taden, as soon as he saw that, like I said, he's a great base runner. He took off from third, and he just barely beat the throw home. And so we tied it up 7-7 in the seventh inning, and just like a common theme against Mineota, we were headed into extras, and we got up in the eighth, and we weren't really able to make any noise. And bottom of the eighth, we gave them a couple bases, and against a really good team like that, that's something that's that's not a great thing to do against a really good hitting team, and they made us pay. They hit a little blooper out to right field, and that brought around that third run, and so they won 3-2. But it was a really fun game. I was really proud of the effort of our guys.
That's right. Good. All right. Let's take some time. You want to take some time and let's visit, talk about each of the players, Jared?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we, as the team, we batted 256 and had an on-base percentage of 378. I'd like to see that a little higher, right around 300 or so, but it definitely improved, and our at-bats improved, you know, moving throughout the year. Some of our individual batters, Davis Patzer was a big bat for us. You know, he was always batting usually in the 3-4 hole. He was batted 438 for us. He had a number of clutch hits. Baxter Kalloff, he was right around 200. He was a 5-6 hitter a lot of the year. A really dependable first baseman. He made some really nice plays at first base. Just getting comfortable. Matt Arndt, we split some time. He spent a lot of time out in right. He had quite a few innings on the mound. I think he had just shy of 20 innings on the mound and some big at bats and some big innings for us. He was that next guy in line for us on the mound too. That was big to have. Nolan Smith, he really came on for us really in the postseason. We had some guys that were gone, and Nolan, he took his chance and he ran with it, and he really earned his spot at second base, and he played really well for us when his number was called, and as a coach, that's all you can ask for. I was really happy with that. Brant Schomer, he's definitely a team guy. Every inning, or before every game, when we do our infield, he always knew that he had to go warm up the starting pitcher, and he never complained about it once. He just took his role, and he made a lot of our starting pitchers a lot better because he was willing to work with them and get them those warm up pitches, and always just laughing, joking around in the dugout, that fun atmosphere. And I really look for him to make a big jump this year and really contribute for us coming into next summer. Tyler Earp, he started the year down, and he was like 8-9 hole, but the first time I started going through stats, and I realized that he was batting around 300, and so I moved him up to the 2 hole, and he really paid it off there. It's nice to have a little bit more speed at the top of the order, and he had a number of stolen bases, on the year for us, and really set it up so that those guys in the middle order, Dave Landon, Brock, and Matt and Baxter, they've got some runners on for them, and that was huge. Landon Weber, he was a great catcher for us. Coming down the stretch, I can maybe think of one pass ball he had during our whole postseason run, and that's a huge thing to have, especially for that pitcher on the mound, to have the confidence that you got a guy on third base. I can throw that 0-2 breaking ball, and I don't have to worry about anything, that ball getting past Landon. I mean, you can't put numbers with that, but that's just a huge confidence that pitcher has, and he only got better, like I said. Malcolm Lilliard was another one of our outfielders, and he had some big base running for us too. I believe that was on Friday night. He set up the go ahead or the tying run, excuse me, against Dawson, and that was he's got some speed to him too. And there was a situation that he was on second base, and he saw a pass ball that kicked to just past the catcher, and he scampered from second to third and slid in safely, and then there again at home plate too. There was a ball that kicked away just far enough, and he took off and scored that tying run, and that was a huge momentum swing for us, and that's a big reason why we won that game was on Malcolm's base running. That was a really, really fun thing to see. And then we had Dylan Kymeg. He was our staple, like top of the order, you know, our leadoff hitter, our shortstop, and coming down the stretch, a really good pitcher for us too. He won a lot of awards during the school ball season for a reason. He's a really good kid. He's a really good leader, and he expects the most out of his team and even more out of himself. And he's a really good guy to have leading our team, and a really good guy to have for our, like, I even tell my son Dean that he needs to learn about a thing or two and see what Dylan's doing, and it's just cool to have those kind of kids that you can have the younger kids look up to and kind of an example to follow. That was really fun coaching him. And then Brock was an ace of our staff. I mean, I think he had 6 wins on the year. Really, if we needed a win, a lot of times he was their guy on the mound. You know, he maybe had right around a 4, I believe, ERA, but a sub 200 opposing batting average. He anchored us, and he threw a lot of innings for us, and took some pressure off the rest of our arms in our rotation. That was really fun, really good guy to have for us. And then Tayden Clark, like I talked about earlier, he's a huge base runner for us. He can do a little bit of everything, but having that type of speed on the bases is huge. And same thing, Tygan Allpress, he's been our 9 hitter a lot of the year, and I simply have him there to be a second leadoff hitter, because it's nice to be able to flip the order like that and have a really good guy with some speed on the bases. And that helped set up, like I said, the middle of our order too, having that extra guy ready to run. Carson Young is another guy that he played quite a few innings in the outfield for us. He's another really good team guy that, you know, whatever the team needs, he's willing to do. He works his tail off, and you can always depend on him to give you everything he's got. And I really like to see that, and that makes my job a lot easier, you know. And then last but not least, we had Brendan Sherb. He's the ultimate team guy too. I think he had a double earlier in the year, and everybody was, I mean, they were jumping up and down, the whole team, all 13 other guys were just excited for him, you know, because he's the first one cheering every other guy on the team on, and seeing that was really fun to see earlier in the year, and I only see him improving and getting better for school ball next year. But
okay,
that's our roster for the year.
Yeah, now about coaches and you know, your sponsors, got some thank yous there. It takes a lot of people to run a program, doesn't it,
Absolutely.
Jared?
Absolutely, yeah. I couldn't have done it without Mark Birniel. He was a great asset to have. He was the JV coach this year, and he had a lot of insight coming into the year on what would work positionally and how guys were batting during school ball season and stuff like that. And that was huge. Obviously the VFW, I mean, they're always willing to give us, you know, what we need. We ordered some stuff at the beginning of the year, and they're just like, you get what you need and we'll take care of it. And that's huge to have that. I mean, without them, we couldn't do this, right? I mean, the VF is such a great organization to help fund us and back us. And then the whole baseball association, they're always down there, you know. Obviously Bart's down there taking care of stuff, but the other members like Chad Kranz and some other guys like that, and they're always down there, you know. When we have a game, they're willing to work concessions, they're willing to run the PA system and all of that stuff that it's just one less thing that I have to worry about, and I really come to appreciate, and it's those little things that you don't even think about that are huge when people are just willing to take care of that. I can't express how thankful I am. It takes a village, that old saying, but it's true.
That's right. Well, Jared, I want to thank you for being on the Coach's Show every Saturday here during the summer and telling us about Junior American Legion Baseball, and congratulations on a fantastic season.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah, I appreciate it. Can't wait for next year.
All right. That's Jared Roiland of the Madison Junior Legion team. We'll take a commercial break. We'll come back and hear from Tyler Ottoman of the Rosen Express right after this.
The Hanley Falls Fire Department invites you to come on over for the fun on Saturday, August 5th. They're having a parade at 3 p.m. Lineup for the parade starts at 2:30 at Wayne Standard. Come on over and participate, or come on over and watch. Street dance will be going on Saturday night in Hanley Falls, featuring live music by Maiden Dixie, $10 admission charge. Band plays from 8 to midnight. Gates open at 6 outside the Hanley Falls Liquor Store. Food available on-site from 5 to 8 p.m. Again, that's parade at 3 p.m., street dance 8 to midnight with Maiden Dixie in Hanley Falls on Saturday night, August 5th, and you're invited.
The Stevens County Fair is thrilled to welcome award-winning country band Diamond Rio. Diamond Rio has sold more than 10 million albums, won a Grammy, a Dove, and 6 Vocal Group of the Year wins. In 1991, with their hit Meet in the Middle, Diamond Rio became the first country music group in history to reach number one with a debut single. Diamond Rio, along with Jason Pritchett at the Stevens County Fair, Friday, August 11th. Brought to you by Insurance Partners Incorporated, Pizza Ranch, and KJ Country. For tickets, log on to StevensCountyFair.org.
Unbelievable! Race fans, Saturday night, the place to be is Madison Speedway. You're not going to miss it. It is Meet the Drivers / Kids Night. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Madison Bottling. All classes will be in action this Saturday night. Madison Speedway. You can meet all your favorite drivers and take some pictures and get some cards at intermission. The place to be, Madison Speedway. Green flag flies at 7 o'clock. I am Scott Irwin. We will see you at the track.
Cliff Beastman Incorporated, Gary, South Dakota, wishes to thank their truck drivers for the world-class job that they do, and also to their retired drivers who have helped build this company into what it is today. Cliff Beastman Incorporated recognizes the men and women delivering the goods and services that keeps our economy moving. It is one of the most important and demanding jobs. We appreciate you and thank you. This message comes to you from Cliff Beastman Incorporated, Gary, South Dakota. Saturday afternoon, it's the Region 9C Amateur Baseball Playoffs from Clinton. It's the Madison Mallards taking on the Benson Plowboys in an elimination game, 1:30 first pitch. That's the Plowboys and the Mallards from Clinton, 1:30. You can hear it right here on Q92 with Bart Hill. Tune in.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show. Big day in Morris for Region 9C Amateur Baseball, and we're going to talk about that with Tyler Ottoman. Tyler's the manager of the Rosen Express, and good morning, Tyler.
Morning, Paul.
Well, the Express have had a busy last couple weekends, haven't you?
Yes, we have. We end up playing 2 games down in Dawson. And we played 1 game up in Morris this past weekend. So,
all right. Well, let's talk about. We got 3 games to talk about, right? And this is a double elimination tournament, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's back up to Dawson then.
So if we go back to July 22nd, we ended up playing opening in a Region 9C with playing Chicago. Rosen ended up being the 10 seed, and they took on the 7 seed Chicago Coyotes. The game started off for Rosen in fast start. In the second inning, Rosen got started the game off with a single by Drew Boots, and Devin Boots hit a double, and Drew Boots got thrown out of the plate, so Rosen ended up with a guy at second, and then Davis Patrick got on with 2 outs by an error on the first baseman. And he got the second one by a wild pitch, but with a full count and 2 strikes, full count, 2 outs, Nate Nelson, an RBI single, or a 2-run single, and got Rosen off to a 2-0 lead. Then in the third inning, top of the third inning, Rosen came back with a single by Nate Nelson, and then got the second by an error. And Preston Kraft came up with a one-out RBI single. At that point, Rosen was up 2-0. And then Chicago came back with two runs of their own to the bottom of the sixth. But that was it for the scoring. Rosen ended up winning that game by a score of 3-2.
Hmm. Yeah, close one there then.
Yeah. Rosen only had one error on the day, but a well-pitched game by Mike Shakey and went the distance, and Rosen did just enough to get the win there.
All right. Yeah, so now is that first round, is that single elimination, or is everybody always in a double then? How'd that?
At this point, the only teams that are in single elimination would have been the playing game. That was Appleton and Hancock.
Okay.
And then when you get to 12 teams, it's all double elimination from there on
okay.
out.
So, anything else on the Chicago game there, Tyler?
Yeah, stats on the day, hitting-wise, Nate Nelson had a single, or had a hit. Evan Kraft. Preston Kraft with a hit and an RBI. Devin Boots with a hit, and his one hit was a double. And then Nate Nelson with a hit and two RBI on the day. And then a pitching, Mike Shakey started the game for Rosen. He went 9 innings, giving up 6 hits. Both runs were earned, 2 runs. He walked 1 and struck out 4.
Hmm. Mike's been around a long time, hasn't he?
Yeah, Shakey, he's about, if I'm not mistaken, he's 25 years old. But, yeah, it sure seems like he's been around. And when Shakey gets to the playoffs, he was electric. He was kind of back to his old form. Rosen kind of missed him last year. He tore his ACL, and he had knee surgery last September, and he came back. And he was a little slow go for us during the year, but towards the end, you can see him kind of get back in the better form. And we're back to his old self, and it kind of helped him out in a way. He started to learn to mix his pitches better and not rely on just the fastball. He started working at curveballs and changeup.
Good.
Maybe it was kind of a little bit of a blessing in disguise for Michael.
Right. Good. Hey, well, that kept you in the winner's bracket. You want to stay in the winner's bracket, right?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Okay. Well, anything else on that game, or when's
nope.
the next game?
Then, after beating Chicago, Rosen ended up playing the number 2 seed, the Mineola Mudheads, the next day in Dawson. And Rosen got off to a good start again. Rosen got off to a 1-0 lead by Mike Shakey with 2 outs, had a single. And then Nathan Strong hit another base hit. And with 2 outs, Drew Boots came up with an RBI single. But unfortunately, that was the only hit of the game, or the only run of the game for Rosen. Mineola came back with a run of their own in the bottom of the fifth. And in the sixth, Mineola, being the 2 seed, really started to hit the ball. And they ended up scoring 3 runs in the sixth, and then 1 run in the seventh, and then in the eighth, got out of hand for Rosen a little bit. Some bad defensive plays, and Mineola just hitting the ball very well. They came up with 6 runs in the bottom of the eighth inning to win 11-1 over Rosen.
Okay. Well, Mineola Mudheads, they're a good team. You know, they punched their way to the state tournament after that. So.
Yes. Yes, they did. Yeah, they played very well up in Morris by beating Morris 3-0. And then I'm not sure 100% of the score, but they ended up beating Dumont to go to the state. So.
Yep.
For Rosen stats on the day, Nathan Strong and Drew Boots, both with hits, with Drew Boots having the only RBI of the day. And Nate Nelson with a single, with a hit, and Mike Shakey with a hit. Pitching stats for Rosen on the day, Kanan Mortensen started for Rosen. He went 5 2/3, giving up 8 hits, 4 runs, which 2 of them were earned, and 1 hit by pitch, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. And then in relief was Evan Ingersoll. He came in, he threw an inning and two-thirds, giving up five hits, seven runs, one hit by pitch, and four walks with no strikeouts. With that, Rosen ended up going into the loser's bracket and taking on Cottonwood, and we faced Cottonwood last Sunday up in Morris.
Okay, and how'd that go for the Express?
Rosen ended up losing 6-5, but Rosen was up on the day. Rosen scored one run in the top of the first, leading 1-0, and then scored two in the bottom of the second. Or the top of the second, I should say, leading 3-0, and then Cottonwood responded with two runs of their own. And then in the fourth inning, Rosen scored two more runs in the top of the fourth, now leading at that point 5-2, with Cottonwood responding in the bottom half of their inning with a run. And nothing really happened until the ninth inning, where Cottonwood led off with a solo home run, leadoff solo home run. And then another run after that. And then they tied the game in the bottom of the ninth. And then in the bottom of the tenth, Cottonwood ended up taking the lead 6-5 over Rosen.
Wow.
Rosen ended up with five errors on the day. And there was a couple key errors that gave Cottonwood the lead. But Rosen out-hitted. We out-hit Cottonwood. And we just kind of played a little sloppy baseball and gave up the lead, unfortunately, there.
Yep.
Which ended up ending our season on the year.
Okay. Yeah, tough loss there. A couple of one-run win against Chicago and a one-run loss there in the last game. So
just unfortunate there. Yeah, in the ninth inning, they had a couple of the hardest hit balls they hit all game was in the bottom of the ninth inning. And no errors in the ninth, but I mean it was just they just hit the ball where we weren't, and that's just kind of how it was. So,
but,
stats on the game. Nathan Strong and Preston Kraft led the hitting for Rose on the day with two hits apiece, and Davis Patzer with two. Nathan Strong had a two RBI, and Preston had an RBI. Davis Patzer had two hits with a two-run scored and a stolen base. Other hits were Evan Kraft with a double and an RBI. Dylan Lilliard with a hit, which was a double and an RBI. And then Drew Boots with a hit. Nathan Strong with a hit. And Evan Ingersoll with a hit. And then starting for Rosen was Mike Shakey. He started the day, he went five innings, giving up eight hits, three runs, which all three were unearned, walking three and striking out two. And then Christian Canton came in relief. He went five innings, giving up three hits, three runs, which two of them were earned, hit one batter, walked none, and struck out five. And then that end of the season, Rosen ended the season with a record of 5-12. A little bit, at the start of the season, we had a little bit higher expectations, but I would say halfway through the year, we kind of realized that maybe we should go with a young group of guys, and we went pretty young. We had for sure four, if not five starters were either 20 and under. It was kind of an interesting, I did some stats here, and we had about 40% of our at-bats were taken by people who are 40 or 20 and under, I should say. 40% was 20 and under. So Rosen really kind of went young there towards the middle and back half of the season, and it was a little interesting. People over the age of 30, we had 15% of our at-bats were taken by someone over the age of 30. So.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah, you look at like Minnesota, for instance. Yeah, they have an older group of guys, and which cost Rosen there towards the end of the year with some errors, but in the long run, these guys are learning and figuring out. So,
okay,
I think Rosen's got a bright future here coming up.
Good. Take a few minutes here just to wrap up the season here, Tyler. Maybe go down to your roster and talk about some of the guys, and we can take a few minutes to do that now. So,
yeah,
if you'd like.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have. We can go over some of the hitting, like Nathan Strong led Rosen in the hitting. Rosen kind of struggled here and there, especially towards the end of June. And I was kind of proud of the guys. A lot of the guys kind of stepped up and we started hitting the ball better in the second half, especially after our tournament that we do. We don't have real great numbers for hitting, but I was proud of the guys. We improved our batting, hitting by 30 to 35 points, I should say. Nathan Strong led the team with a .310 batting average. And then Drew Boots really stepped up towards the back half. He really kind of came on with Preston Kraft. Devin Boots, he kind of, midway through the year, we decided to give him a lot of a run, and he really stepped up big. Started hitting the ball well. He improved his batting stats by 50 points in the back half. Nathan Nelson and Davis Patcher both kind of, Davis Patcher really came in strong when we decided to go young, and I know he's been playing a lot of Junior Legion and Legion ball, so this summer he got a lot of baseball with him not being able to play this spring. Evan Kraft, he really came up big. He improved his hitting towards the back half. Little guy, but he had 2 doubles on the year, and that I think the last probably 5-6 years, he probably has 2 doubles all in the last 6 years, so he came up with a couple big hits there. Mike Shakey and Kaden Mortensen. Kaden Mortensen got 21 at-bats, but he was a guy that Rosen signed actually in the middle of June, and really wasn't sure what to expect, and he kind of came on. He threw, I know he said he didn't throw many innings in the summer for Legion or in high school, but he ended up throwing for Rosen 12 innings, and he threw very well for Rosen. He started against Mineota, and he threw his first 10 pitches he threw against Mineota were all strikes.
Wow.
And he really, he looked sharp and kind of had, the stats didn't look pretty, but he really had Mineota off balance and kind of had them reeling there for a little bit. But after a while, they're just a good hitting team. They started to figure some things out, and Kaden, you really impressed me with the bat and pitching wise. So,
okay.
I think he's a younger kid. He's going to be a senior, and he's got a bright future ahead of him. So
good.
And then we have Peyton Rademacher. He didn't start a lot, but he's got a good glove in the outfield, and he came in there. He had a couple of nice hits during the year. Evan Ingersoll is a kid that we signed out of Camby, and unfortunate that he doesn't have a Legion program down there in Camby, but another guy that halfway through the year we decided to give him a lot of run. He had 50 at-bats, and he got overmatched a little bit, but he had a level-headed kid, and he threw some very good innings for Rosen. He threw 15 innings for Rosen, and he had a pretty good glove for most of the year, and got him some at-bats, so that should always help him out for next year. And then to round out the bottom is Anthony Johnson, a kid from actually Dawson area, and a good kid on the bench, and got some speed, and didn't hit as well as he did last year, but it was up and down year for him, but he stuck it out, and pretty good kid. And then Christian Canton, doesn't get to bat much, but he's one of Rosen's top pitchers. So, kind of a kid that maybe not many people know about. He's been kind of gone here and there, but a good pitcher at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that it?
And that should be it.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you? How'd you do this year, Tyler?
I kind of a down year, but I really wasn't focused on me. I was trying to get a lot of these younger kids playing time, and I batted 130, it says, and had a few stolen bases and a couple walks, but yeah, I was trying to get a lot of these younger. Well, right, exactly. I knew my place. In the last game there, I had a pinch run for Preston and ended up stealing second. So
awesome.
I figured I was a little bit faster than Preston still.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, well, thanks for being on the Coach's Show during the Baseball Coach's Show and informing us on what's on the Roseland Express team. And I know you put a lot of time into that, Tyler, and a lot of other people do over there in Roseland. It's a great amateur baseball field over there and just a great atmosphere there in Roseland. You guys do a great job.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I should probably thank everyone that supported us this year, all the fans, and especially the Rademachers. They do a lot of work at the field, taking care of it. Robin, Mickey, and Trent. They do a lot of things on the field when a lot of people don't see, and a lot of stuff, you know, behind the scenes. And I probably should thank my wife for still letting me play this kids game and don't get too upset when I'm gone all the time from the kids. So
that's a big commitment, so, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's 2.5 to 3 months, and mm-hmm. even that's not including the stuff that we do during the spring and
right.
before we get in the field. You know, we have a few kids that are in the egg community, and I farm myself, so try to do some hitting before the year, and it's a big commitment, and especially when, you know, my kids are getting older with their activities now, so.
Right. All right, Tyler, thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Paul.
And
thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next year then, so thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks, Paul. Take care.
Yep. Tyler Adelman, manager of the Roseland Express. We'll take a break and be back with more of the Baseball Coaches Show after this.
Come on out, it's everybody's fair, the 125th annual Swift County Fair in Appleton, happening August 16th through the 20th. Check out information online at swiftcountyfair.org. All kinds of entertainment on stage for you again this year, including the Johnny Home Band, the White Sidewalls, Canyon Cowboys, 70s Magic Sunshine Band, Expedition, and country entertainer Tracy Lawrence. Enjoy Alfie's World of Robotic Puppets, Rockin' Woody, the FFA Barnyard, Demo Derby, and more during the 125th annual Swift County Fair in Appleton, August 16th through the 20th. We'll see you there.
Rebel Camper Sales and Service in Clara City has the best selection of new and used fifth wheels and travel trailers. For great prices and the best service around, shop Rebel Camper Sales and Service in Clara City. They're located right off Highway 7. So if you're looking for a new camper or used, Rebel Camper has a very large selection to choose from. For your next camper, shop Rebel Camper Sales and Service, Clara City.
Well, that'll wrap up another Baseball Coaches Show for this Saturday. Just a reminder, if you want to watch some great baseball, you can head to Granite Falls for the State Junior American Legion Baseball Tournament today, or go on up to Clinton and cheer on the Madison Mallards. Mallards will take on the Benson Plowboys in Region 9C Baseball at 1:30 this afternoon. You can hear that baseball game right here on Q92 with Bart Hill. And then today, just in a few minutes, Laverne will be playing Montevideo in the Junior American Legion Baseball Semifinals. That at Richter Field in Granite Falls at 10 o'clock this morning. And at 12:30, Granite Falls will play Morris at Richter Field as well in the other semifinal game. And then the loser's bracket, you got Le Sueur Henderson playing Parker's Prairie at 3 and Esco playing Rushford at 5:30. All those games in Granite Falls today in the State Junior Legion Baseball Tournament. Thanks for listening to the Baseball Coaches Show, and we'll be back same time next Saturday.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Coaches Show here on this Saturday morning. Tune in next Saturday, same time, 9 o'clock.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Right now it's 9:59. Great music for St. Leo, Porter, Ivanhoe, and Taunton on 92.1 FM Q92.